I have some good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? So if you've got a Bible, turn in it to Romans 8. And I don't know how many, we're getting to the point where there's going to be vacations and family camp and stuff like that. So I'm getting towards the end of this series called The Acts of the Holy Spirit. But I have at least a couple of messages out of Romans chapter 8, which is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It is so dense. Romans chapter 8, just that one chapter ought to be its own book in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. So much comes out of that. And the Apostle Paul, like I said, the passage that I read last week, it is so dense and so deep and so powerful. And he says a couple of things about the Holy Spirit that aren't unique. He says something similar in Galatians chapter 4. It's kind of a parallel to this passage. But he talks about what it means to be a child of God. How many children of God in this place? Anybody? What does that mean to be a child of God? I mean, does it mean that you said a prayer? Of course, it means Jesus. Well, Romans 10 says it's with your heart that you believe and with your mouth that you confess and are saved. The confession of faith is important. It's valuable. It's why I do altar calls and bow your head and close your eyes. And it's why I do that stuff, because I think that's important to give your heart to the Lord, right? But there's more than just saying a prayer. Being a child of God is a whole life. It's a whole lifestyle. It's everything that we do and everything that we are. And so the Apostle Paul describes it like this in Romans 8, starting verse 14. And I'm reading from New King James this morning. For some reason, even a whole Bible full of a translation, for some reason, New King James just got it better than anything. He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God." I put "and daughters" in there because, you know, when he says sons, he's not excluding the women. And so so what does it mean here? He gives us an example. To be a child of God means that you're led of the Spirit of God. Those are the same thing. And so if you're not being led of the Spirit of God, are you really a child of God? So he's talking about this. It's more than just belonging to a religion. It's more than just giving an intellectual assent to something, but it's about allowing yourself to be led, follow after his Spirit, after his heart. And I would just say those are children of God, but he uses the word children, technia. He uses that a little bit later. But in this verse, he says, those are the sons of God and the daughters of God. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Oh, it's powerful. That phrase is used 3 times in the Bible, and I'm going to get to it in just a minute. But it's amazing to me, in Romans and Galatians, two of Paul's earliest writings, there's still the early church was using that phrase to refer to God, because only Jesus called him that. And so when he says we cry out, Abba, Father, what he's doing is he's using the Jesus prayer. He's saying this is how we call out, just like Jesus did. We can call him Abba, Father. And so, but he says in NIV says the Spirit doesn't give us, but he says he did not give us a spirit of bondage. In another passage, he says he did not give us a spirit of fear. And so in that sense, that spirit is that thing that comes into us that fills us full of fear. He said he didn't give us that. And he also did not give us a spirit of bondage. So the religion, the faith, the relationship that we have with him isn't one that leads us back into bondage. In Galatians, it's a little more obvious that what he's talking about is that whole generation that grew up under the thumb of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and that old system of religion where they were just afraid every moment that if they ate the wrong thing, or if they, you know, lifted up a finger to move a chair on a Sabbath, or they did the slightest little thing, then they were rejected by God. Jesus said that he had compassion on those who were harassed and helpless. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Because that generation was so under bondage to fear. But Paul says, the spirit that he gave you, it's not going to lead you back into bondage. It's not going to put you into fear. It's that spirit that as a child of God, you cry out, Abba, Father. Where you can be free and you can be yourself and he can be himself in your life. And then in verse 16, he says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And so he says, not only does that Spirit of God lead us, I was talking about the verbs of the Holy Spirit in this series, what the Holy Spirit does. And so if we are children of God, that Spirit leads us, that Spirit adopts us, that Spirit and bears witness in our spirit that we're children of God. And so his Spirit and our spirit, it's like two witnesses. So in Jewish law, you couldn't be convicted by one witness, but only by two witnesses. So now here we have a dual witness, is that our spirit is borne witness by the Holy Spirit that we are a child of God. And by that, we cry out to him, Abba, Father. I just love it. In the summer, I try to keep things a little bit light. I don't have a lot that's like super deep and profound. I just want to do a little devotion this morning on what it means to have the spirit of our Abba, to have the spirit of Abba in our life. That's an Aramaic word that just means Father, but it means Father when you address him. So the first thing it says is that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So let me talk about being led. How many know that being a Christian or being a child of God is more than just a name? It's more than just a fish on your car. By the way, none of your friends know what the fish is. They don't. Do you like fish sticks? Or you like fishing? Nobody knows. Do you know what the fish is? Five know what the fish is. And you could put a cross on there. You can have some of you have crosses tattooed somewhere on your body. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, being a Christian is more than just a necklace around your neck or a tattoo or a sign on your car or even the fact that you go to church. Being a believer, being a Christian means you're a Christ follower. How many Jesus followers do we have in this place? Oh, not Pastor Mike followers. Don't follow me. Half the time I don't know where I'm going. But we are all Jesus followers. Amen? We've decided in our heart that he is the example, that he's the one that's going to help us stay close to God, that he's the one that's life we want to emulate. And if you're a Jesus follower, to be a Christian means you're a Jesus follower. And so Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, which isn't the important part of this verse, because listen to what he says. Now, he's just saying one example of what it means to be a Christ follower is that you love your enemies and you pray for those that persecute you. And he says, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. So listen to how he uses that word now. Being a child of the Father in heaven, being a child of him, is not just only the relationship that I have or that I call him Father and he calls me son, but the way that that expresses itself in my life is I do the stuff that he does. How many are with me so far? And so there is this phrase, and this is, by the way, even older in the Bible than talking about the Messiah or the king as being the son of God. There's a psalm that says, I am your father, and today I have begotten you. And so the king, it started with David and Hezekiah and Josiah, all those godly kings. One of the many ways to refer to the king of Israel was as the son of God. I say, well, they weren't the son of God like Jesus was the son of God, right? He came from heaven. Not in that sense, but the earliest version of that meant that you were someone that was godly. You were somebody that represented God in the world, that you followed. So to be, you could use a lot of other phrases, like to be the son of something, like you can say you're they call him the son of righteousness, or you can be like a son of mercy or a daughter of mercy. That means you're just kind of a person that embodies that thing. Are you with me? Or you can negatively be the son of perdition, which means you're doomed to destruction. It uses that in the Bible about the Antichrist. Or the son of, oh man, I couldn't come up with any other better examples. A son of justice or a son of America or whatever. If you're the son of something, it means that you embody that thing. That you are, when people look at you, they say, that's what you're about. And to be a daughter of God, to be a son of God, to be a child of God means that when people look at you, you're following after him. You're the embodiment of what the Father is. Anybody with me so far? And eventually it became, when Jesus came, he added a whole nother layer to that because he came from heaven and he came down, but he was the ultimate example. Jesus says, if you want to see the Father, you look at me. And so can you and I ever be that kind of example? Oh, I'm so far. Say, I don't know if I ever want to say that. If you want to see what Jesus looks like, look at Mike. But I know that that's part of the goal is I want to be a Jesus follower with my life. I want to be a Jesus follower with my attitudes and with my goals and with my priorities. Anybody else with me so far? I know that there's some children of God in this place. Children of God. I'm a son of God. That means that God is the example and I'm just his offspring. I'm a daughter of God. To be a Christ follower and to be a child of God means to follow after his Holy Spirit. These aren't different things. They're one and the same. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and the daughters of God. And so Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, oh, do I not have it? Jesus says to his disciples, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Listen to that. I've had people come to me and struggle with these verses because he says, you know, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. They said, you mean I can be a Christian and not go to heaven? I said, that's not exactly what he's saying. He's turning to his disciples and reminding them that being a believer in God, that being a follower of him, calling him Lord, just saying the name, just saying the words, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, but then you don't give him lordship. If he's the Lord, by the way, that word Lord, Kyrios, it's also the word for a field boss. Here's another way, if it gets a little old to call Jesus the Lord of your life, let me ask you in a different way. Is Jesus the boss of you? That's what Lord means. It got really quiet. Why did it get quiet? You were amen, amen, amen. Is Jesus the boss of you? You said, nobody's the boss of me. Ah, well, that's part of being a Christ follower. Is he's the boss of you? If Jesus says it one way and you say it the other, who wins? Who wins the argument? When's the last time you wanted to do it your way and God said do it the other way and you did it his way instead? When's the last time? Or does God's voice always just sound like your voice? Because it's always just the same thing. You know, there are a lot of people that read the book and don't do what it says. Isn't it true? A lot of people call themselves Christians and they do not follow after what it says. There are. And that's true, I guess, in every religion. I'm not picking on Christianity. But it's more than just saying the word. There are people that will know right out. I know what the right thing and the wrong thing is. There are a lot of crazy Christians out there. Have you noticed? We just found out the name of this young man that did a foolish and horrible thing yesterday and shooting. Would it completely shock you if he lives in Pennsylvania that his mom took him to Sunday school at some point in his life? Maybe not. But it wouldn't completely shock me because I've seen so many crazy things done by people that call themselves Christians. It happens. Being a Christian is more than just going to church. Did you know going to church does not automatically make you a Christian? Any more than going to Taco Bell makes you a chalupa. It's not just about going to a place. It's about the life that you live. It's letting him come out. Being so full of the Holy Spirit that when it's hot, he comes out through your pores. Because you are just so full of him. To be inundated by him. You remember, Jesus was our great example. I love it when I think about what does it mean not just to get filled with the Holy Spirit, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus says, when you watch me, everything that I say, everything that I'm doing is because the Father's telling me to do it. Say, oh, Lord, teach me some of that. I want to be like that, don't you? Lord, just fill me up. Let me be led by you. Because as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, those are the daughters of God. Those are the sons of God. And so then he gets to the word adoption, which is near and dear to my heart. You all know this. All six of my kids were adopted. And Before that, you know, by the way, having kids is a miracle. I got to fix something just for a sec before I get into point number two, because these chairs are crooked somehow. And if you know anything about me, you know, nothing keeps the Holy Spirit from showing up in a room worse than crooked chairs. I may be a little OCD, but I haven't been diagnosed yet, so I can avoid that. But it's true. It's still not right. It's still not. It's over. He can't come into a room with crooked chairs. He can't fly straight. It messes up the whole feng shui of the room. Now it's going to be okay. But we've been adopted. How many know you've been adopted? And adoption is a peculiar kind of a miracle. And so this isn't for all of you who have had the blessing of biological children. That in itself, too, is also a wonderful miracle. It's a wonderful miracle, too, in both ways. But I learned, not just in my head, but through my life experience, that there are certain unique blessings of an adoption relationship. And one of them is an adopted child is a child of choice. And not only at some point did we have to choose those children, but at some point in their life, they've also had to choose whether to allow us to be their mommy and daddy. And so there's a choice. I know there's choices in biological children, but when the Bible talks about our salvation, he uses the Greek word for adoption. So in Greco-Roman society, you could be adopted at any age. And when you got adopted, all of your debts and obligations went away. Who wants to be adopted right about now? So the Apostle Paul uses that word adoption as another word picture for what it means to be saved. Is that we've been adopted. You might have biological parents or whatever, but no matter what the case, all of us are adopted children. We've been adopted into the household of God. And because of that, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And so the Spirit teaches us to trust our Abba, to trust our Father with the outcome. I said I'd get back.